dancing inside the doorway. Use it only in emergency. Better you should pray to God, the Father and the Spirit will guide you and protect you from up here. Can you
You know, it is true what they say about Mondays. Have I had a tough Monday? Nothing seems to have worked out on this 18th of September. But more about my problems a little later. Good afternoon. Welcome, my friends. Robbie Noel with you on the flip side for 1 hour. This hour brought to you by the Republic Trading Group. Our toll-free number is 1-800-691-7898. And yes, we do have a website that I used to update every day at odoc100, except for this morning. Website address, hey, you can get weekends news still, is republictradinggroup.com. More about why the fact was it updated this morning in a little bit. But when we return, we'll give you all the day's financial news and political news when we return.
Headline news. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The Council to Get Some Food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Introducing Idea Sticks. Idea Sticks are self-adhering, so you simply peel and stick to create the look of hand-painted tile on your kitchen backsplash. Bring new life to kitchen countertops. Accent and coordinate kitchen appliances and accessories. The possibilities are endless. And because Idea Sticks are steam and heat resistant, you can even use them in your bathroom. Idea Sticks are removable, reusable, and washable, and won't leave marks or a sticky mess. So you can change to a new design at any time. During this special TV offer, you can order your very own Idea Sticks. A, the floral bouquet. B, the dolphin porthole. Or C, the floral and fruit basket. For the amazing price of just $19.99. That's right, only $19.99. And that's not all. During this special TV offer, we'll even throw in a sheet of custom accents absolutely free.
To order your very own Idea Sticks, call 1-800-564-5812. That's 1-800-564-5812.
Welcome back, my friends, on this Monday. Well, we sorted out one of the problems we started off Monday with, and we've got the audio signal back up. Quick check of the Dow today. Closed down almost 6 points at 11,555. It was down substantially earlier in the trading session when it was announced a large hedge fund of some $9 billion had lost 50% of its value because it bet against natural gas prices. Will we ever find out the true story about the trading losses in the hedge fund? Will it have a ripple effect amongst other hedge funds? Well, we'll have to wait and find out. According to the Associated Press, stocks gave a moderate early advance to close barely changed Monday, after oil prices rebounded from their recent decline, rising as much as $1 a barrel. And therefore, gas prices settled near $64 a barrel today. By the way, gas prices at the pump are off 12 cents for the week, so I suppose there's little good news as far as that's concerned. And the metals had a comeback day. Gold closed in New York up $8.70 at $587.50. You still cannot buy gold for under $600. Hanging on by my fingernails. Yes, the crow was plucked and was getting ready to be inserted into the oven, so I'd eat crow on the show. But hasn't happened yet. Silver up 43 cents, $11.22. Platinum up $3 at $1,166. And palladium up $1 at $316. As we mentioned, crude oil just over $64 a barrel. U.S. dollar today weaker by 7 basis points. Currently in Asian trading, gold's up 80 cents at $588.30. Silver up 2 cents at $11.24. So what do we make of the recent action in the metals complex? Well, let me share this with you, an observation by many out there, saying that after gold plunged, they always use that word plunge. They never use the word profit-taking when gold declines. You know, the Dow goes from 11,700 down to 10,000. It's just a correction in an ongoing bull market, and there's never the term. The term plunge is never associated with stocks, even though they do plunge dramatically. But when it comes to gold, gold always plunges. It's part and parcel of the war on gold. Anyway, as many analysts says, with the plunge in gold prices after reaching record highs this year, when mines failed to keep pace with the rising demand, particularly in China, the Reuters Jeffers CRB index of 19 commodities is now down 7% for the year and 16% from a record 365 on May the 11th. That same day, copper reached the highest price ever and gold was headed for a 26-year high. Some analysts say the recent decline is a correction within a bull market. We've had a much-needed correction from the speculative frenzy, said William O'Neill, a partner at commodity research firm of Logic Advisors, LLC, in New Jersey. He says long-term prices in all metals will continue to rally. Jimmy Rogers, the most bullish advisors out there, especially in commodities, says commodities will be poised to top past records during this bull run. Jimmy Rogers, author of the book Hot Commodities, and also chairman of the Beeland Interest Inc. in New York City, went on to add, and this is something you have to pay attention to. Silver is 80% below its all-time high. Cotton is 60% below its all-time high. And these are not adjusted for inflation numbers. He went on to add, adjusted for inflation, they are 95% below their all-time high. So what kind of bubble is this? He went on to add that mines depleted, oil fields depleted, and your cost of production increases for the decade. Nearly everything makes an all-time high. As we mentioned, gold futures for December actually rose $9.80, or 1.7%, to $592 during the trading day. A weaker U.S. dollar and rebounding oil prices helped send metals higher. Metals are sold in dollars and are more expensive for foreigners to buy when the U.S. currency gains. And gold sometimes gets a boost when oil rallies on speculation of higher energy costs, which will fuel inflation. Gold will continue to rise as oil comes back from seasonal lows, another trader speculated. Goldman Sachs said it boosted its projections for gold in 2006, said it expects an 18% increase between now and April. Long-term and fundamentals of the market remain constructive. I don't think base metal production will keep up with the Chinese and the Indians and the rest of the general global demand. Some analysts say the Federal Reserve's 17 interest rate increases since 2001 are finally slowing the U.S. economy and the housing market, reducing demands for many building products. Add to the dilemma, the U.S. current account deficit widened to $218.4 billion last quarter, second largest on record, the Commerce Department said today. And confidence among U.S. home builders dropped to a 15-year low this month, this according to the National Association of Home Builders. Well, so much for that little ATM called home equity. But what we are witnessing, again, as we always do, when gold markets decline, is you see the usual suspects touted out, as they did back in the 90s, when the real war on gold was in full swing, thanks to Robert Rubin hitting the U.S. Treasury Department. And the war on gold's players are the central banks of the world. Central banks, whatever strange reason, whenever they see gold market declining, they always have an opportune press release talking about the fact that central banks are thinking about selling their gold reserves. You know, if you buy that, you'll also buy the same argument that that guy on infomercials on television, you know, the guy that sells that thing called Kaboom? Kaboom, yes, it will clean your toilet without scrubbing. And if you think there's a product out there that's going to clean your toilet without scrubbing, well, you're in the same camp as those who believe central banks are selling their gold. It's a fallacy. It's not reality. So why should you be taking another look at gold if you've been sitting on the sidelines? Well, my friends, we are dealing with a lot of people that are really PO'd around the world. As a matter of fact, since September the 11th, there are more PO'd people on this planet than I have ever seen in my 5 years on the planet. After 50, I gave up counting the numbers. It just seems as though there's a concerted effort by the powers that be to cause strife amongst Christians, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Pakistanis, whatever it is. We're in a perpetual war of cultures and civilizations. It's getting nuts. I don't know how to explain it. Unless it's by a grand design. On the Talking Head shows this weekend, the talk was about the Geneva Convention, Article 3. Why was George Bush so angry at his press conference on Friday, demanding that Congress vote on revised language for the Geneva Convention, Article 3? I'll tell you why he's doing it. Because a lot of the interrogators within various military and spook agencies out there suddenly read Article 3 of the Geneva Convention and said, oh my God, they could charge me with a war crime. I think that's why the president was so animated on Friday. I think not Henry Gonzalez, or whatever his name is at the Justice Department. So I think he's intellectually challenged when it comes to the Constitution and the law and the interpretations of how to figure out how many times you can put meaning into the word is. But I think someone came to the president and said, you know, Mr. President, in Article 3 of the Geneva Convention, you... Because all presidents in their final year are thinking of their legacy. How will I be remembered in the annals of history? I think someone came in and popped his bubble on that one and said, you know, you could be liable to be charged with war crimes. Direct violation of Article 3 of the Geneva Convention. Maybe that's the motivation this administration has in changing that declaration. You know, on Friday I mentioned that the U.S. no longer has any moral authority to dictate to the rest of the world how to function, how to operate. And it's a sad thing to say. Because that moral authority was built up over decades. And by and large, and I'm just simply talking about the Geneva Convention. Geneva Convention's been around a long time. It's ratified pretty much after every major war. The last time the big ratification came, Article 3 was inserted, was after the Second World War. But every time there's been a war, there's always been international agreements written in the conduct of war, which is ludicrous in and of itself, because in war there are no rules, as I've often said. Now, there's no question that we are dealing with. Well, let me put it to you this way. After the Second World War, and this is where America built its moral authority, because pretty much every war that America has been involved with over a century, its treatment of POWs is what ultimately gave America its moral authority. There's no question. Second World War, if you were a prisoner of war, you would prefer to be a prisoner of war of America than a prisoner of war, say, Japan or Germany. So, moral authority is earned over a long period of time. The fickle thing about moral authority is if you do not maintain it, you lose it overnight. Just one of those things. And unfortunately, the United States today, in the eyes of the rest of the world, has lost that moral authority. As a superpower, it's just become another dictatorship, like the former Soviet Union. And that's an unfortunate thing to say. Because America had a shot after 9/11. See, after 9/11, America came to a fork in the road. I know some people out there saying, well, you know, Yogi Berra used to say, when you come to a fork in the road, you take it. America had two options after 9/11. The one path we could have taken was we could have buried and honored the dead. We could have refrained from knee-jerk responses and resolved to move thoughtfully with specific goals in mind. We could have taken a long, hard look inside ourselves to determine the root causes of that horrendous, gut-wrenching attack in terms of America's long-term policy decisions over the previous 50 years. We could have reaffirmed America's founding principles that made her great to begin with, particularly when it came to the commitment to protecting individual rights and freedoms. We could have made appropriate and fundamental alterations to foreign policy to ensure that the root causes of terrorist acts are eliminated, and we could have used the overwhelming goodwill offered America by the rest of the world that day by enlisting international aid to track down, capture, and bring to justice perpetrators, and doing so in a way that, to the best extent possible, did not undermine the sovereignty of other nations. That was choice A. Choice B, well, we know what that was. We buried the dead, we honored the dead, and then callously used them as emotional hostages for domestic short-term political advantage. We invaded other countries, mostly Muslim, in a savage response and mindlessly destroyed innocent people and infrastructures. We clamped down on civil liberties at home, claiming it was for security, warrantless searches, secret wiretaps, record gathering, national IDs. Yeah, this goes on and on. We squandered the international goodwill by unilaterally throwing our weight around, abrogating treaties, rattling the nuclear sable, and yes, insulting our allies. And in so doing so, we ran up a huge budget deficit, paid for by our economic adversaries carrying our debt, and thus placing our economy and even the stability of the dollar itself at a huge risk. And as I said, we know which path we took. Words like war and terror, Homeland Security, Patriot Act, Afghanistan, and Iraq pretty much say it all. The only reason we did this is either one of two options. Either naivete on world affairs or a complete disregard to truth-telling by the highest level of government officials, which is acceptable. I understand this. Politicians lie to us constantly. If a politician tells me it's 12 noon, I will go outside to make sure that the sun is straight above. Otherwise, I will question everything a politician says. The people who we don't want to lie to us are the guardians of the fourth estate, the media. I am not taking politicians off the hook here in any way, shape, or form. But what I am saying is if we had an honest media, if we had a media that was still concerned with the truth, they would have held the politicians' feet to the fire and we would have never gone to war in Iraq. So do I blame the lying politicians or do I blame the mainstream media? My friends, I submit to you, I blame the mainstream media because the people were given a choice to make and they weren't given the right information, and it was not because the politicians lied, because they do that all the time, that's a given, but it was because the media dropped the ball. Now, you may find this a strange segue, but as you know, we are having a fundraising drive at RBN. And it's crucial for you to understand why you need to support this network. Because you will hear news and information and interviews on this network that you are not going to hear on any other Clear Channel broadcast. You're not going to be able to read it in your daily newspaper, because they don't tell the truth. They do not have the guts to hold politicians' feet to the fire, because they all live in a little bubble. There's a bubble in Washington, there's a bubble in New York, and there's a bubble on the West Coast. And they're all buddy-buddies with each other. So if you point a finger, point it at the media. And if you want to consistently hear the truth, make a donation to Republic Trading Group. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com, or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy Axiom, The Second American Civil War, by T. Edward Allen.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best kept secret in the world today is that it is now possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star Wars technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's www.lasemedinc.com or call 702-953-0267.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Every time I look into your loving eyes, I see a love that money just can't buy. One look from you, I drift away.
Welcome back, my friends. Yes, that was a much innocent time. Just so you know, the website, republictraininggroup.com, more than likely won't be updated tomorrow morning, and I'll tell you the reason for it. I've had two experiences with electronic equipment that I learned a very valuable lesson. They do not mix well with water. To my great chagrin, one day I threw a pair of blue jeans into the washing machine, not knowing that my cell phone was still in my back pocket, only to discover a few minutes later, where's my phone? Couldn't find my phone. It took me about a week to find it at the bottom of the washing machine. Needless to say, it didn't work from that point on. Called the guy at tech support, and he just said to me, it's fried. Don't ask me why, but a bottle of water leaked onto my desk, unbeknownst to me, and seeped under my my Macintosh G4 iBook, and when I went to switch it on this morning, it was as dead as a dodo bird. Called up tech support, told them what I had discovered, that a bottle of water had leaked onto my desk and seeped underneath my my laptop, and they informed me it's fried. So I've had to acquire a new Macintosh, which is not that bad, really. It is something I've been planning on doing for a while because it's got all the bells and whistles and it's got Intel processors and it goes a lot faster and it's got more stuff. And so until I can figure out this new software and how to update the web pages, well, you never know. With a bit of luck, we may have a page up tomorrow, but if not, just be patient with me. We'll have it up sooner or later. Tomorrow in New York City, the president's going to give a pitch at the United Nations, remembering his last pitch at the United Nations, which was filled with lies and obfuscations. I think the rest of the collective world that's going to be watching tomorrow has those memories firmly entrenched in their minds, and we'll see the president once again calling for, yes, war with Iran. I was watching, one of the Bubble Vision shows. They were interviewing retired Air Force Colonel Sam Gardner. And he's got a new report out from the Century Foundation. And in this new report for the Century Foundation, the retired Air Force Colonel warns that some in the Bush administration are making the case for airstrikes aimed not only at setting back Iran's nuclear program, but also at toppling the country's government. He says that these officials are undeterred by the concerns of military leaders about whether such attacks would be effective. If this uncertainty does not appear to worry the proponents of airstrikes in Iran, it is in no small part because the real U.S. policy objective is not merely to eliminate the nuclear program, but to overthrow the regime. In the reports, he says, it is hard to believe, after the misguided talk prior to Iraq, of how many American troops would be greeted with flowers and welcomed as liberators, that those inside and close to the administration who are arguing for an airstrike against Iran actually sound as if they believe the regime in Tehran can be eliminated by air attacks. When questioned at his news conference last Friday, President said, I ain't going to talk to Ahmadinejad, even though we'll be in the same building together. We'll only start talking to him once he toes the line. These guys want war. I don't know if the Pope's in on it. You know, the Pope made a statement. I read his whole statement. And from what I read, I have to say, I agree with a lot of people who say his words were taken out of context. It was one sentence in a long speech about the problems with religions and wars throughout history of mankind. But then again, you have to ask yourself, well, who... You know, I'm thinking, it's not every day that I will read the Pope's speech, but because of obviously all the interest, I went to read the Pope's speech. I never read his speeches. It was like when I used to go to Catholic school. And the reason I never became a good Catholic is because everything they did was in Latin. I couldn't understand a word they were saying. It was a long time ago. And so, you have to ask yourself, how did the Muslim world, after all, they don't speak English, they don't speak German either. How did they read the speech so quickly? Unless, of course, it was someone in the media that fed them this information, saying, you know what the Pope just said about you Muslim guys? And the world erupted in flames. It's still burning, by the way. I'm not sure. There's riots going on in Budapest. I think it's Budapest, in Hungary. Who knows what those people are mad about over there, but they're burning down buildings, government offices, and all the kinds of things. By the way, there was a guy got really mad with someone in Capitol Hill today when rushing through the security checkpoints. Washington, D.C. was in a tizzy, shut down the whole city. Terrorist attack. And by the way, whatever happened to that anthrax attack? Who did that come from? Have we ever found the perpetrators of that particular hideous act? Of course not. Wonder why. But there's no question. Over the next 7 weeks, we're going to be treated to all kinds of horror stories about boogeymen. Just remember to check under your bed before you go to sleep at night. Never know, an Al-Qaeda member could be hiding underneath there. And what about the spinach? Couldn't that have been a terrorist attack? Yes, Al-Qaeda spinach. Now think of it. Another generation of kids are going to hate spinach. You never look at spinach again the same way. It's impossible. I remember for years I used to look at those Tylenol bottles. Remember there was a scare with some guy was putting arsenic in Tylenol capsules? I swear for years I looked at, ooh, let me go to Advil. Yesterday I went grocery shopping. And I looked at, and here you have these large refrigerated sections with a plethora of salads in bags. I mean, I ain't touching any of those. I mean, I wasn't even going to touch the ones that weren't. And I actually like the stuff in the bag, especially the coleslaw. It saves you chopping the carrots and cabbage and all that's all there, done, ready to go. I looked at it, went, I think I'll pass. It's like Coca-Cola. It was a great soft drink for decades, centuries. Then some bright MIT guy comes along and goes, let's change the formula. It took them years to overcome that PR debacle. You have to ask yourself, how long is it going to take us to overcome this PR debacle? How damaged is the U.S. image overseas? Thanks to this administration. It's also ironic that, is it today that's Constitutional Day or was that yesterday? Apparently, in those puppy mills of socialism, otherwise known as government education centers, also referred to as public schools, apparently today was set aside to teach little mushheads about the U.S. Constitution. Well, you have to question that one.
They'll learn everything in a day. They'll understand everything. In just one sitting, we'll just explain that freedom and liberty is what we stand for, and that's what the Constitution gives us. And there are military graveyards all over the country. People have died sacrificing their blood so that we don't speak German today. And that's the sum total of kids' education in the Constitution and the Founding Fathers, their thoughts and processes. I'm sure there's no talk of Andrew Jackson, who I refer to as America's first president. The reason why I do that is because he was actually the first president that spoke American. All other presidents pretty much sounded like me. But Andrew Jackson was a man who had a problem with this theory of central banks, Federal Reserves, and these kind of things, and was adamant that it was in violation of his constitutional responsibilities as President of the United States to give the responsibility for the nation's money to some private agency. But they ain't going to tell him that. They ain't going to burst the little mushhead's bubble by saying, all men, we hold this truth to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Oh, they say that, you see. See, the Founding Fathers weren't racist. They said we were all equal. Little Johnny sticks up his hand, how come they had slaves? Because when the Founding Fathers put that in, it wasn't race, ethnicity, culture. It was, if you are born in America, you have no title to nobility. In other words, America has no kings. But don't expect them to teach that at school. Besides anything else, can't even teach kids how to read. You know why they can't? You know why kids can't read? I got into this many years ago. I mean, this is not a new phenomena. The kids graduating from high school can't read or write. You know why they can't? because of this policy of whole language that was introduced by the Department of Education. Whole language gives kids words and pictures. In other words, they associate, it's a memory thing. They associate a picture with a word. In other words, a picture of a dog, and then the word dog is printed there. Some people say, well, that's logic. That's the way kids learn, you know, what words are. You know, they did a study of whole language. And I've forgotten what classes it was through. But after 2 years of this whole language curriculum, if you took a word like marmalade and stuck it in front of a kid without a picture, he wouldn't even know what it is. He couldn't even disseminate the word itself, because he's been taught to associate words with pictures. He hasn't been taught the alphabet. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Which is how we learn phonics. It's how we learn to read. We don't need pictures. We learn the alphabet. So that when you're given a word like marmalade, you can deconstruct the word marmalade without having a picture tell you what it is. Now, this is just a typical example of why Johnny doesn't read, doesn't write. I guess it's part and parcel of the digital age we live in. There's no need to read anymore. That's old wave. All we got to do is throw in a DVD now. Can watch it. Watching things or looking at pictures is no way to raise a kid if you expect him to have a halfway decent education. Now, if we can't fix a simple thing like the educational system, how do you think we're going to solve any other problem? You would assume that parents would be concerned about their little mushheads wanting the best for their kids, demanding that the education system revamp itself. America spends more on educating its kids than any other nation on the face of the earth, and it's not even close. It's by a whopping margin. And yet American kids are way below third world countries. I hate to say this, but it's true. Washington, D.C., they spend $10,000 a kid. $10,000 a kid per year. And it is, without question, the worst educated populace in America today. 30 kids to a student, to a class, 10 grand per kid, $300,000. Their class. Where does that money go? They give it to the teachers? I don't think so. It is a perfect example of why we ain't going to be able to solve any of these problems that are going on in Washington, D.C. We're just along for the ride at this point in time. I wish I could have something positive to say. But we are going to have an event of epic proportion before the people finally wake up and realize what's going on. Speaking of the devil, Mr. Statmiller.
Boy. How are you doing, Robbie?
Can't complain, brother, for a Monday.
Yeah, something monumental must take place. How about this network get big enough that we're in Jump Street, in people's faces, with the news, the information, we embarrass the snot out of the controlled medias, and then we can start talking about our successes rather than our failures, or more importantly, their game just continues. How about we try that tact?
I think that is a good tact to try, you know, because, you know, I will defer to the people. I mean, I can't really believe that so many people will still buy into the so-called mainstream media's message, because they were just lied into a war. And this, and we are talking, we are not talking liberal or conservative publications here. We are talking about both, because obviously one of the big promoters of the war with Iraq was the New York Times.
Well, sure. But again, we're talking mainstream. See, this is not, you know, Bill Clinton lied. He said, I did not have sex with that woman. I did not have sexual relationships with that woman. Well, it was his definition of sex.
Right.
And Bill Clinton wouldn't have been impeached and remained in office if he would have came out and said, you know, I had an indiscretion. I've spoken to my wife about it. I want to be honest with the American people. That wasn't a proper thing to do, but, and they would have, people would have fallen over themselves forgiving Bill Clinton.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of people in this country still, Robbie, this is their last best hope, to have the supposed Christian Republican, you know, in the White House, George Bush. He's his father's son. Well, actually, he wouldn't make a pimple on his daddy's backside in the intelligent quotient, but be that as it may, people don't have the ability to tune in to something that is different. That's why this network has to not only sustain itself, but it must grow. We are very, very short of time. We are very short of time. I don't know how much time we have left. I'm not out there making predictions on when the next terrorist attack is going to happen, or what next assault to the Constitution and the American people is going to be. But they've been conditioned for so many years. That's why it's important for them to have the ability to hear this network. And we need to have people step up with us, link arm in arm, and to have a concerted effort to get the message out. And the one medium that's perfect for doing this is what you're listening to right now. We need to be on more AM and FM stations. There's one tool that everybody in this country has in their cars, in their homes, everywhere, and that's an AM and FM radio. We already have the receiver units out there. The only thing we need to do is to bring the programming to the people so they can listen through their car radios, their home radios, whatever the case may be. We're asking people to step up and pledge. I've spent a long time doing this network and other networks, and I only see it as we don't have billions and trillions of dollars in which to start up a television network and go up against CNN or ABC or NBC or whatever the case may be. We just don't have that kind of money. But we do have this technology. We have proven it's effective. The only thing we've got to do is make it a little bit bigger and bring it to the people. I do believe, Robbie, and I will not sell the American people short. There's a lot of them that don't care, but there's a lot of them that have not heard the truth. And there's an old axiom, there was an old saying, rather, with computers when they first hit the commercial market back in the 70s. And people didn't even know how to do BASIC or Fortran, you know, language to program anything. And then they were frustrated. They kept complaining that they got bad information out of their computers. Well, that's because the proper information and the format was not being inputted. Therefore, they got garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. Same thing applies to the American people, Robbie. All they've been hearing is the controlled electronic medias, and all is that they don't have a viable choice in which to weigh things, study them for themselves, and then make a proper decision. So they're getting garbage in. So what do you expect to come out of them? Garbage.
Sure.
That's where this network comes in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as I said at the top of the hour, you know, it's one of the most important things that we can do at this point in time, because we take for granted that politicians lie. I mean, that's just a given. They've always
it's always a good point to have skepticism against whatever a politician says. So I don't really put the blame at the feet of the politicians. I put the blame at the feet of where it deserves to be, at the guardians of the Fourth Estate, the people that were entrusted with holding politicians' feet to the fire.
Sure.
I mean, that was the whole concept of the First Amendment.
Sure. But we have seen what has happened. Yeah, it is true. Even Justice Black rendered a decision on First Amendment and even mentioned, you know, newspaper and media as they are the guardians, and they've got to be protected. They've got to be able to speak against a government that's gone awry. You know, we all know these things, but where is the practical application to bring this to the American people? That's this network. And I am not going to do this for a half-baked job. There is not too much enthusiasm because many people take it for granted. Well, I'm here to tell them that too few people are carrying too much of a load. And even some of the talk show hosts on this network aren't as fired up about this as I am. So I'm here to ask people to step up to the plate, make a contribution. We're going to go out there and get more outlets out there. We're going to work tirelessly and ceaselessly to wake more people up. That's my job. So we're going to ask people tonight to pick up the telephone and to call 800-724-2719 to make a monthly pledge. Make a monthly pledge. Make a commitment. Make a commitment to spend a few dollars on this network. Make a few investment dollars to wake somebody else up. I am tired of people talking about the problems, but we have not had anything that's sustained and has been effective. We've already proven this network can be effective. We need to take it to the people. Also, people, rbnlive.com, go up to that website, top right-hand corner of the webpage, Republic Partner. Click on that button. Go to PayPal in increments of $10 to $1,000 a month. Make a monthly pledge. Make a one-time shot donation, but make it good. But commit yourself, ladies and gentlemen, because we are short of time and too few people are involved. We need more people. The whole problem here is we have too few people involved.
Couldn't have said it better myself, my friend.
Well, that's why I did it. 800-724-2719. Thank you, Robbie.
Thanks. Mr. Staffmiller, tirelessly this week, been trying to wake a few people up. I hope you heed his call. I hope you pick up the phone, make a pledge. Till tomorrow, see you, bye.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.